Matthew's going to come and bring the word to us. Just before he does that, we're going to try and introduce you and his wife, Gwen, to us. And we'll have ask them a few questions, just light-hearted ones. And then we'll listen to see what Matthew's got to say to us. So I'll give you this, Gwen, because the other ones have got the microphones. So perhaps you just want to tell us how far you've come to be with us this morning and where you've come from.
Jill, I'm not exactly sure what the distance is, but it's however far Bangkok is from rugby. That's how far we travel over on Tuesday. Yeah. I'm the pastor of an international church over in the centre of Bangkok, and so we travelled on Tuesday. So anybody know what's the distance?
A few thousand miles, probably
seven. 12 hours sitting. Yeah, 12 hours sitting in a little seat for without hardly moving. Yeah, but it was good. It's good.
Perhaps you just want to say, you know, what would you say is a key difference between a church in Bangkok and maybe here? And we're not just representative of the whole church in the UK.
Apart from the temperature of the the weather, the main. It's an interesting church. We have probably about nearly 100 refugees, and a lot of them have come from countries where they've been persecuted and they've literally had to flee for their lives. And being a refugee in Bangkok is not good because there's no help, there's no support, there's nothing at all, and they can get arrested at any point in time. So probably one of the main differences is the number of refugees, I think. We've got refugees obviously in the UK as well, but they're a large number, and they've got all big issues. And that's a major difference, yeah. I think, probably between here and there. But actually, okay. We're all the same. Yeah.
And Gwen, maybe just say a little bit about your family.
Okay. Well, we have two sons. They're both married now. They're both Christians and married to lovely. I've got two lovely daughter-in-laws who are great. And my younger son's now. He's a church minister, and he's also got a baby. So we've got a grandson. Grandson, which is very exciting. And I have a lovely dad who's now 92, and he still lives by himself. He's still very independent. He can still drive. He needs a bit more support,
yes.
Really. He needs a bit more support, yes. From time to time.
Yeah. I think we have people here who certainly identify with that situation. Yeah. Matthew, maybe do you want to say, what's your favourite sport?
Do you know what I like? You're still going to say the favourite one, because I enjoy sports, lots of different sports, but... probably the ones I've played the most have been, I'm sorry it's the wrong shape ball, but football and cricket. But badminton I used to play a lot of as well. But I'll play anything. I noticed a table tennis table in there. So
yeah.
If anybody fancies a game, I'm up for it.
Okay. And maybe just, Gwen, just say a favourite holiday that you had together. Where did you go? Is it something different? Or?
Just before we went into YWAM, we thought, well, let's do something special. We have a long weekend. We're going to go to Sorrento. That was a really nice weekend. So we were sort of in our late 20s, I think, probably.
It wasn't very long ago.
But it was very special because we went to see Mount Vesuvius, you know, the volcano. We went to Capri, the island. We packed a lot into a very short time.
Weekend, yeah.
And we even went to see Pompeii as well. So we had an amazing weekend. It was really nice, yeah. Long weekend, yeah.
You'll have to talk to Erica because she's keen to do the similar thing. That's great, yeah. Okay, and maybe just tell us what your favourite Bible verse or Bible passage for you.
Lots of them, but I'll tell you one, and that is, it's Psalm 100 verse 2, and it says, serve the Lord with gladness. And the reason why I like that verse is because I became a Christian when I was 21 years old, and I was at a Christian union type meeting, and it was the first time there was a Baptist pastor preaching for the weekend, and the theme of it was that verse, you know, serve the Lord with gladness. And you know, it's probably the first Bible verse as a Christian that I ever actually learned, but actually I found it really helped. What I like about it just whatever's happening in life, wherever we are, whatever, serving the Lord with gladness, worshiping the Lord with gladness is what God's created each and every one of us to be, and it's the first verse I can ever remember actually learning by heart.
Great. Okay. Yeah. And maybe a last question. Gwen, I think you mentioned going YWAM. Did you find that a challenging situation, and how did you cope with it? And maybe you just have to say where you went, because people aren't...
Yes, okay. Well, it was a challenge. We sort of prayed about whether we should leave our jobs and do something like Youth with a Mission. I'd been teaching, he'd been in the police, and we felt God more and more saying this, that we should do it. And we went up to St. Helens for our DTS, and that was very different. And then...
Good.
Yeah. Well, it's different from what we were used to down south. Anyway, and then we went to Amsterdam for our outreach, which was great for me because my mother was Dutch, so I could speak Dutch, and it was really good on the outreach to do that. And then we lived in inner city Glasgow for quite a long time, which was challenging, but we loved the people there. They were so, you know, they were so honest and lovely and funny. And we had, you know, a great time, really. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Maybe we'll catch up with some people who've got Glasgow roots as well around the place before you go. Yeah.
Great experience for Glasgow. Both our two boys were born in Glasgow, so they can probably play for England or Scotland.
That's great. Thanks for just sharing a little bit with us. I'm just going to pray with you, Matthew, and then we'll let you bring God's word to us. Yeah, thanks. So, Lord, we just thank you that you brought Matthew and Gwen safely to us this morning. Thank you that they're here. Lord, we just want to pray over Matthew now. Thank you for the things that you've been saying to him as he's been preparing for this morning. Lord, I just want to pray now that you give him a real peace, that he's able just to bring the words that you've laid on his heart to bring to us this morning. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be open to receive what you've got to say to us through Matthew this morning. So we thank you for him, Lord. Just pray that you'll bless him as he brings your word to us at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Great. Great. Well, it's really good to be here. And thank you for your welcome. And for me, you know, and it's a little bit like coming home, because between the ages of 8 and 18, I actually lived in Warwickshire. And so for me, coming back here now, it's like coming home, in a sense. I went to school at Strathbourne-Avon High School, was there for 7 years, and so still got some friends that want to come to faith in that area, but it's great to be back in Warwickshire, and it's a county I've always loved, because growing up in Warwickshire between those ages, I was always a keen Warwickshire County. Anyone else support Warwickshire County Cricket Club? Warwickshire? Oh, come on. No one? There's got to be one Warwickshire County Cricket Club enthusiast here, surely, yeah? You Bears. Okay. But it's good to be back here, and it's great to be able to preach the word this morning. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to just share sort of five clear points from, you know, two passages I've been given. But let me just start off telling you about one particular person. And I don't know if anyone knows who this woman is on the screen. I'm sorry it's not a very good picture, but it was taken probably about 130 years ago, which is why it's not brilliant. Anyone want to have a shot at who she might be? I'll give you a clue. A missionary. Good shout, actually. Very good. Well done. Gosh, if I had a prize, you'd get one. Amy Carmichael. Let me tell you about Amy Carmichael. What an amazing woman of God. Let me tell you God's calling upon her life right at the beginning. She was she grew up in a Christian home, and when she was in her early 20s, she had a dream. One night she was dreaming, and she knew that it was a dream from God. And in this dream, she saw she was on the top of the edge of a cliff, and there were lots of people running across the edge of the cliff and then right down onto the rocks below and getting killed. And Amy was doing all that she could to try and stop people from actually falling off the edge of the cliff. And she was able to get a few back, but still lots were going over the cliffs and just, you know, it's their death on rocks below. And she looked and she saw out of the corner of her eye that on the top of the cliff there was a picnic blanket laid out, and there were people just having, you know, making daisy chains, I think, in her dream. Anyway, she woke up. And she knew that God was speaking to her powerfully. It was a revelation from God. And she said, God, would you give me the interpretation of that dream? And God showed her really clearly what it meant. She was on the top of the cliff's edge, and the people who were running off the cliff, or she was bringing back from the cliff edge, were just about to go down to hell. And she was doing all that she could to rescue people along the cliff's edge to stop them from getting killed and going to hell. And she says, well, what about the picnic, you know, the picnic blanket? What was that about, Lord? And she said, well, that's some people, some of the church, they don't care about that very much, and they're just, you know, doing their own thing. And from that moment in time, Amy Carmichael knew that God had called her to, for a particular purpose, to call her to be an ambassador, but called her and sent her to go. And she actually goes, if you read about history, she goes first of all to Japan, but then to India. And she is, for 55 years, she's a missionary in India. She never once comes home for a sabbatical. She never once returns back to all the people that she's left. She is sold out, sold up, committed, passionate. And she wanted to patrol the edge of the cliff in India. And what she does there, she rescues thousands of children from temple prostitution. They come into church, they find faith in Jesus, and their lives are changed. Amy Carmichael spent 55 years of her life rescuing people from falling off the top of the cliff. And just as we begin and think about these two passages, we'll read them in a moment, just the challenge there is from Amy Carmichael is this. What about you and me? Where is the cliff top that God wants you and me to be, you know, sharing the good news of Jesus, helping people to not, you know, fall down to that, you know, that cliff to the rocks below? God will have a top of a cliff for each one of us. And for most of us, that's probably not going to be India. It's probably going to be right here in Rugby. And God's saying, hey, will you learn the lesson and the example of Amy Carmichael in terms of, you know, what God's called us to be? And I hope, as we just make several points from the Word of God, that actually God's going to impress upon us the role that he has for you and me to actually be those disciple makers, those ministers, those ambassadors for God. So that's just really what, by way of introduction, just setting the scene for what we're going to be thinking about. The other interesting thing about Amy Carmichael, she had terrible neuralgia. Exactly sure what that is, but it's painful, sort of, you know, she should never have gone. She had every excuse to stay at home and just, you know, not go anywhere, do anything. But she goes. And even though there were times during the end of her life she was racked with pain and in bed, she was still there doing the best she could to control a cliff top. So I think we've got two scriptures to come up. Let me just read the two scriptures. They're going to come up on the screen. Yeah, two scriptures up on the screen. Okay, thank you. First one, just three verses. We know it well. It's a Great Commission. And it says this, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the first one. And then the second scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 20. Let me read that as well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Two wonderful scriptures, and I'm just going to make just several points from them. And the first one from the first two verses is this. Jesus has given you authority to be a witness. Jesus has given every one of us, for we love Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he has given us an authority to witness. You know, these are the very last words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel. They were the words that would have been ringing in the disciples' ears as Jesus ascended into heaven and go and make disciples of all nations. And we know it so well. We almost know it too well, perhaps. But actually, let's look in for a moment, just a couple of things. There are many we could pick out. A couple of things that Jesus says to you and me today through them. And the first is this. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus gives to all those who love him his authority. It's amazing, but he does. Jesus has all authority, and he chooses to impart something of his authority to every follower of Jesus. And particularly here, Jesus gives us authority to witness, an authority to share the gospel with other people, just like Amy Carmichael does, or did. Authority to be a witness. Authority, if you like, to be an ambassador. And in fact, the final point's going to be about the ambassador bit, but I'm just warming you up towards it here. He's given us authority to be a witness, authority to be his personal ambassador as well. And you might think, well, Matthew, I don't think I've got much authority. The great thing is, not only does God give us Jesus, he also gives us his Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus says to the disciples, he says to you and me, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, comma, and you will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit helps us in our own personal walk with God, but the Holy Spirit helps us to be a witness, to be an ambassador as well. So Jesus gives us his authority and his power. And you might think, well, I don't think I've got much authority. If I try and muss up all my authority, it's only going to be about that much. Let me give you an illustration. There's a policeman's helmet on there. If you went and walked, I don't suggest you do this, please, but if you went out and walked onto the middle of the A5 road, just not far from here, just the east of Rugby, and if you just stood in the middle of that big fast dual carriageway and put your hand up, and there's a 40-ton articulated lorry steaming towards you, you're probably going to get flattened by it. It's not going to stop for you. But if you go and you're a police officer and you're wearing a uniform and a helmet and you put your hand up, hopefully that articulated lorry, is going to stop. What's the difference? Just going as you and me, we have no authority to stop a vehicle on a road. But a police officer in uniform does, because he has the authority, the whole law behind him to back him up or her up. And that is the authority that Jesus gives to every follower of his. His authority. It's not our own authority. It's not bigging ourselves up. It's the authority that Jesus gives us. And he wants us to know and live in the light of that. So we've been given authority to do what? Actually, to share the good news of Jesus. He's given us his anointing through the Holy Spirit, and he's given us his authority as well. And you might think, well, Matthew, authority to be a witness? I don't know what to say. I've not been a Bible college for 10 years. Let me tell you, if you love Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have authority. You have your testimony. You have what Jesus has done to change your life. And that is all we need to do. And actually, when we're with our friends, our neighbors, wherever we might be, wherever we spend most of our day, actually, God can use you to say, do you know what? Jesus has made a total difference to my life. Jesus has really helped me in this situation. We can all share our testimony, and no one can argue with a testimony. They can argue about apologetics, maybe about Christianity, but they can't argue with someone's testimony. And we all have that to share. And God wants to give each one of us an encouragement. Go on, Matthew, go on. Share the goodness of God, what God has done in your life. It's a simple, it's a natural thing. We don't have to be Billy Graham and get on a soapbox. We just need to share the heart of what God's done in our hearts with the people we rub shoulders with. So we all have something to share. And we have the authority of King of Kings. That's the first point. Second point is this. Jesus has commissioned you and I to make disciples. Verse 19. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, for Amy Carmichael, she did. She went to Japan for a short time, but then most of her time in India. For you and I, it's going to be rugby. It's going to be our local area. It's wherever you spend the majority of your day, whether it's at school, at college, at the workplace, at home, family, wherever it might be, whatever you do. That is where Jesus has commissioned you and I. He hasn't just commissioned Amy Carmichael to be a famous, typical old-star missionary. He's commissioned you and me in the everyday warp and weft of life in Bilton, in Rugby, wherever we are. That is where God has commissioned you and I to. And isn't it a challenge to remind ourselves that actually God has commissioned you? Do you know what? You don't just get a commission if you join the army as an officer. Jesus commissions you and I, every one of his followers, to do what? Just in a normal, natural, everyday way, to share the goodness of Jesus with whoever we rub shoulders with. It's as simple as that. It's not rocket science. It's just sharing the goodness of God with others. And he's commissioned us. He's commissioned me. He's commissioned you to do that. Again, so we're not just doing guilt trip, arm twist, I've got to go and share the gospel. It's not. It's just a natural overflow of what Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. And let me tell you this. Making disciples or helping appoint people to Jesus is the most rewarding thing any person can ever do. Why? Because you're investing in someone else's eternal future. You make a difference. You know, that Amy Carmichael, you know, vision, that revelation that God gave her, I've got to stop all these people. They're falling to the cliffs of their death. So when we're being commissioned, when we know we've got a bit of authority from Jesus, and when we're actually sharing, you know, something of the good news of God, we are doing the most rewarding thing that anyone can ever do, because you and I are investing in someone else's eternal future. That's got to be good, hasn't it? Yeah. 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 Okay, let's... And you know, actually, I know some of the youth are in as well, and it's great to have you. We thank God for you and all that God's doing in your life. Do you know, in the UK, the majority of people, I think the statistic is somewhere about 80% of people in the UK come to faith in Jesus under the age of 21. And you know, it's not easy. It's never easy being a teenager or a young person. But you know, there are a lot of people, and you'll find lots of your friends who maybe don't have the faith in God that you have. And just by being a normal, natural, everyday witness to your friends, actually, you know, you'll reach your friends in a different ways than maybe some of the rest of us will. But actually just saying, hey, do you know what? Jesus can help you. Jesus made a difference in my life. You know, can I say a prayer for you? Or whatever it might be. There'll be lots of your friends. Actually, they're just waiting for you just to have the confidence to just share something about what Jesus, the difference Jesus made to your life. So whatever age we are, whether we're young, whether we're senior, it doesn't matter. God wants to use us to make a difference. Okay, so next point is this. We're now switching from the Matthew passage to the 2 Corinthians 5 and a couple of points from 2 Corinthians 5. This one is a transition point, if you like. Jesus has transformed you. Jesus has transformed you. The one before? Thank you. Jesus has transformed you. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. This is an amazing, but this verse, just get your head around this one. If anyone is in Jesus, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I tell you what, I became a Christian when I was 21 years old. And I'm so glad. I don't know where I would be. I would be in the gutter somewhere probably, or I don't know what I'd be doing if Jesus hadn't have totally changed my life. But he did, and he is still doing so. And as I look at my life, or any person who becomes a Christian, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you genuinely repent of your sins, and when you genuinely turn to Jesus and open the door, invite him into every area of your life, a miracle of transformation happens. The old has gone. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not still walking around with all my old baggage in life, because it wasn't very pretty baggage, I'll be honest with you. And the great thing is, when Jesus changes a person's life, they're transformed, they're changed from the inside out. And it doesn't matter what sin, what mess, what trouble, what difficulty, what hurt, what guilt, what shame we've ever gone through, when we truly turn to Jesus, that is gone. Let me tell you, Jesus is such good news. He is such good news. We should have a complete and total confidence in who Jesus is and what he can do in any person's life, in Rugby or to the end of the earth. He gets rid of all the mess, all of the old, the rubbish, all of the sin, the shame, the guilt. And what does he put in place? He gives us freedom. He gives us a new life. He gives us a walk with, eternal walk with Jesus. It's like we put our hand into the hands of Jesus, and now he is walking with us and living with us through every day of our life. It's a complete change and transformation. And I hope that, you know, every one of us, if we're a Christian, just think back and think, how has Jesus transformed your life? Because let me tell you, he has done. And sometimes we don't see it, but let me tell you, he has done. And that is what the message we've got to share with other people too. Now, you might be thinking, Matthew, why have you put a picture of a butterfly and a caterpillar up on the screen? Let me give you an illustration of the transformation that Jesus can bring. A caterpillar spends its life sort of crawling around in the dirt, or maybe on a leaf or something like that, and it munches its way all through the leaf, and it's just a caterpillar. It's a glorified maggot. It's a beautiful God-made creature, don't get me wrong, but it's a maggot, it's a caterpillar, and all it does in life is crawl around in the dirt and eat leaves. But after a while, something changes. It actually then forms a chrysalis. And I'm not quite sure, people here know much better than I how long it's a chrysalis for, but it doesn't matter how long it's in a chrysalis for. And while it's in this chrysalis, it undergoes a complete and total change. And then the chrysalis starts to open up, and a beautiful butterfly comes out of the chrysalis. That butterfly is designed to fly. It's designed to drink nectar from flowers. That butterfly will never be a caterpillar again. The caterpillar is its old identity. That was its old life. That's a life, my caterpillar life before I met Jesus wasn't very nice. But hopefully, since Jesus transformed me, now that butterfly life, I'm a new creation. You're a new creation. We're a new creation. That is the good news of what Jesus can do. And that's why being a disciple maker, helping other people to see, hey, do you know what? Jesus really completely transformed my life. He wants to transform your life too. And anyway, so that's just an illustration of that point. Jesus has transformed you. And that's why we can have absolute confidence in sharing our faith in Jesus. Okay, let's get to the next point, which is Jesus has given you a ministry of reconciliation. Let me just read again, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19, and it says this. It says, I'll read it. You probably need to go home and read it and let it absorb in, because it takes, there's so much amazing, wonderful dynamite in these verses. But God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Jesus, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. If I were to ask you, you know, hey, guys, do any of you have a bit of a ministry? Has God called you to maybe a particular role or a ministry or way of serving? You might give me an answer, or you might think, I don't really have any ministry at all, no ministry. Let me tell you, let me give you a ministry today. If you love Jesus, God today gives you a ministry of reconciliation. It's a ministry of reconciliation. It's amazing. That's what God does. And it's not just for some Christians. It's not just for Amy Grants. It's for you and me. Just ordinary, everyday spectacular Christians. He's given us a ministry of reconciliation. And we first of all need to be reconciled with God. That was a previous point, the transformation. As a member of the human race, I need to be transformed by Jesus, my creator, creator God of the universe. And once I've been transformed and I've been reconciled to God, I've been made right with God. I could never be made right myself, but Jesus, through his blood shed on the cross, has made me right with him. I've been reconciled to God. Once we've been reconciled, God then gives us that ministry of reconciliation. And let me, just for a moment, just add a little bit here. If we think back to the beginning of creation, God and the first human beings were in a perfect relationship with God. There was no sin, there was no death, there was no pain, there was no suffering, there were no tears. It was a perfect relationship with God. And who else was there at the time? Satan was there and whatever. And what happened? You know, the first human beings, they decided they're going to do the one thing that God asked them not to do. Hey, you can do anything you like. You've got complete freedom and joy in my presence. Just one thing you can't do. Don't do this one thing. Because if you do that, that moment in time, death is going to come into the world. Everything is going to change. And before we blame the first human beings, we all have been that same person. We've all done the one thing that God's asked us not to do. We've all erred and sinned. And that has brought, if you like, a separation between us and God. But the great thing is about Jesus is that it doesn't stay like that. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, God in a human body came from heaven to earth, lived in a human body just like yours and mine, and at the end of his life, died on the cross, shed his blood for us, was raised from the dead for us. Why? So that we could be reconciled with God. That early relationship that was broken is restored again. Jesus is the only person that can reconcile us to God. No other God can. No other God can. There's no one else can. No psychologist can. It's Jesus alone that reconciles us to God, restores that perfect relationship again. That is the good news of the gospel. And when a person truly repents and turns to Jesus, everything changes. So Jesus has reconciled us. And having been reconciled, having been made great, my sin's forgiven, I've repented, I'm following Jesus, and it's great. Let's keep that relationship between you and me good, but I also want to use you to help with that ministry of reconciliation. And that's what he calls us to do and to be. Let me just give a little illustration on this point. There's a next shot is a... I don't know if any of you have ever heard of something called kintsugi. Yeah, you have. Okay, yeah, great. Well, I'll hand over to you for the next bit. No. Okay, kintsugi, it's a Japanese art form of repairing things that are broken. It's repairing something that's broken, that's finished. Kintsugi is a Japanese art form. What it does, it uses sort of a special sort of gold-type glue to actually put all the bits back together again. And actually, what was broken is now much more beautiful and spectacular than it was before. It's been completely reconciled. All the pieces, if you like, have been stretching a little bit, but reconciled. They've been put back together. What was broken is now mended. And that is what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's why when we know that we've been reconciled, we should ask God to fill us with the fire of his Spirit, that we might just go out from here on fire, burning, to tell the first person we can, do you know what? Jesus has changed my life, and he can change your life too, or whatever it might be. So God's given us a ministry of reconciliation. And final point, and in a sense, the previous four points have all been leading up to this final point, and it's a title, what I decided to give the title for this talk as well. Jesus has appointed you as his ambassador. I'll say that one more time. Jesus has appointed you as his ambassador. You can turn to the person next to you and say, you're an ambassador. Yeah, absolutely. Let me just read what it says in verse 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." Goodness me. So we've been given authority, we've been given a commission, we've been given a ministry of reconciliation, and now Jesus says he makes us his ambassador. And do you know what? Every follower of Jesus is an ambassador. If anybody ever asks you what your job is, it doesn't matter what age you are, you can be younger or older, just say, "I'm an ambassador." Really? What, an ambassador for the UK? No, a much more important embassy than that one. It's a heavenly embassy. I'm an ambassador not to, you know, King Charles. I'm an ambassador to the King of Kings. God has made every follower of Jesus an ambassador. And let me tell you, if you just wanted to meditate on that one verse for a moment, or maybe when you get home, really? Moi? An ambassador? Me? Little old me? Yes, an ambassador. And it says in the verse, as though God were making his appeal through us. There are people that you will have friendships and networks with that no one else will have. There'll be people I know that maybe none of you know. There'll be people you know that none of the rest of us know. And wherever you go, actually, as a follower of Jesus, you are an ambassador. And I tell you, it actually, if you take it seriously, and you think, gosh, okay, when I'm driving the car, I'm an ambassador for Jesus. Might improve some of our driving habits a little bit, maybe. But actually, if I go across in a Tesco Express, I'm an ambassador for Jesus. There might just be someone. And what does an ambassador do? An ambassador represents their king in a foreign country. Wherever we go as Christians, whoever we meet with, friends, family, enemies, doesn't matter who, Jesus says, you and I, we're an ambassador. And if we were to really get this and let this bit percolate from our heads right down into our spirit, wow, let me tell you, every time we go out in the morning, every conversation we have, I'm an ambassador for Jesus. Actually, should I have said those words as an ambassador for Jesus? Maybe not. And either we're a good ambassador or we're a not very good ambassador. And if we never, ever want to tell anyone about the difference that Jesus made to us, we're not going to be a good ambassador. Jesus wants us to be a good ambassador. He wants us to be able to bring good reports to him of conversations that we've had, people we're praying for. And it's as simple and it's as easy as this, really. It's not rocket science. And there's a passport up there. We all carry that passport that says, ambassador for Jesus. We're an ambassador for Jesus. And if we were to really be a little bit more intentional on really thinking of this 24/7, not just on a Sunday morning, I tell you what, your Christian life is suddenly going to open up amazingly because you're going to start to find, actually, you're having a few conversations you'd never have dreamt of because you just realized, actually, God's giving you that ambassador role. And actually, let me just, while we're on this, I've just remembered. We've got some of the youth here. And is Carl? Carl, great. Okay, you're probably not going to remember this, but about 20 years ago, there was an advert on the TV of a particular type of chocolate, and it was all set in an ambassador's residence. Does anyone remember it? Anybody know what those chocolates were? Okay, well done. So, especially this is probably sounding double dutch to you guys, so apologies, but a while ago there was an advert advertising these chocolates, and it was an ambassador's residence, and they're bringing out these really posh chocolates, and they were like Ferrero Rocher. So, Carl, can I give them to you to well, you can eat... you can eat them all. You can eat them all, or you can share them if you like. And but don't forget, when you have your Ferrero Rocher, can't even pronounce it, chocolate, just remember, God has made you an ambassador in your school, in your college, in wherever you might be. You're an ambassador for the King of Kings. You're an important person, and God values that. Just looking at the time, I think it's probably time to wind up. So, final point from this then. I encourage each one of us, daily, when you wake up in the morning, getting out of bed, God, help me to be an ambassador for you today. Yeah. And if you do that, I can tell you your spiritual life and your walk with Jesus is going to take off amazingly. I think we've got time for a final illustration. Just about. Okay, anyone know who this guy is? I'll give you a clue, he's not a missionary. Or not as far as I'm aware, anyway. Anyone? Any hazard a guess? No, I'll tell you who this guy is called. Louis Pasteur. He was a yeah, no relation. Louis Pasteur. Let me tell you just to finish up and just bring all of this to a conclusion. Louis Pasteur was a doctor. He was a pioneer of immunology. And it was Louis Pasteur that was the first guy to ever invent a vaccine for rabies. In his time, if you got bitten by a dog with rabies, you're going to die. That's it. And he'd been experimenting, and he thought he might have got a vaccine that was just about good to go, but he'd never, ever tried it on it. And in fact, he was going to try it on himself. But just at that point in time, a woman, she came and knocked on his door and said, he said, my son, a 9-year-old boy called Joseph Meister, has been bitten by a dog with rabies and he is going to die. Can you save him? And Louis Pasteur was like, well, I've been putting this, you know, potion together, but I don't know if it's going to work or not. And the mother pleaded with Louis Pasteur, just do it, please just do it. And he did. He injected Joseph Meister, his 9-year-old lad, for about, I think it was about 10 days. And Joseph Meister lived. Louis Pasteur realized he's found a cure for rabies. And at the end of his life, Louis Pasteur, on his tombstone, just asked for 3 words to be written, and they were these. Joseph Meister lived. Joseph Meister lived. And the reason for saying that is just all the different points just been making today all come up to, actually, God's called us to be his ambassadors, ministry of reconciliation, commission, authority, all of those different things. And at the end of our lives, who is it maybe that maybe God will say to us, hey, you know, there's someone who's lived, hasn't got dashed on the rocks below in Amy Carmichael's dream, just because we had the courage to think, you know, do you know, can I just tell you how Jesus changed my life? Whatever it might be. Joseph Meister lived, but God wants every member of the human race to live for eternity with him. Everyone. But it's God's given you and I the commission and the mission and the ambassadorial role to share the good news with him, about him. So the final slide's just coming up on the screen here, just for summary of just the different points. And as you look at those, there might perhaps just be one of those points that particularly strikes you this morning. Maybe it's one of those points and you think, maybe it is about, actually, I need to know if God's given me a little bit more authority. Or maybe it is the ministry of reconciliation. Wow, God can use me. Or maybe it's that ambassador situation. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. I'm just going to lead in as just a short time of prayer, just a bit of a ministry response time. Let's just close our eyes and just have your own conversation with God and ask, God, what are you saying to me through the word of God today, Jesus? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you speaking to me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And while we've all got our eyes closed, we're just responding to God. This is the most important part because this is our response to God. But I'd just like to give an opportunity. If there's anyone here, and you know that God's maybe just giving you a bit of a nudge in the ribs and saying, yeah, that ministry of reconciliation, I need to start taking that more seriously. Yeah, actually, I want to step up. I want to be the ambassador that actually Jesus has given me to be. Then I'm just going to invite you to stand up where you are, and I'm just going to pray a prayer from the front here, just praying that God the Holy Spirit will come and bless you and anoint you to be that ambassador, that ministry of reconciliation. Or if it's just, you know that God wants to sharpen you in an area, then right now I just invite you to stand up, and I'm going to just pray a prayer and just pray that God would anoint and bless you for that anointing to be an ambassador. Yeah, Jesus, I'm going to take you seriously. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm definitely standing up. I'm always standing up on this one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord God, as we're just standing in your presence, Jesus, I just ask and pray for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit to come right now upon each one of us. Jesus, we don't do anything on our own strength. It all comes from the power of your Holy Spirit working within us. And Jesus, for every one of us here, those standing especially, but all of us as well, those not standing too, Jesus, I speak an imparting of your Holy Spirit. I pray for an anointing of the Holy Spirit of God to come upon you right now. I pray that God will just bless you and encourage you with that ministry of reconciliation, that God will use you to make an amazing difference in the lives of other people. I just speak the words of Jesus over you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your anointing, fill us with your power. And Jesus, for each one, I just pray that we will hear that role of ambassador that you're giving us right now. Would you make us an ambassador wherever we go, whoever we meet? We are that ambassador. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. We receive it. We receive that ambassador calling, Lord God, upon our lives. And I want to pray, Lord God, for an increase in fruitfulness for each one of us, an increase in fruitfulness, that you will open some amazing doors, Lord God, like never before. Opportunities to witness, opportunities to share about you, to pray for someone. Jesus, I pray that each person here standing up will have opportunities to lead people to Jesus, to point people to Jesus. I ask and pray for that, Lord. So, Lord, I pray, speak of fruitfulness. I speak a Holy Spirit empowering and anointing. And Father, for the whole church here at Beck, Lord God, I just ask and pray that you would pour the oil of your Spirit upon us, and that you would begin to move in South Rugby, North Rugby, West, East, every part, and well beyond, Father God, as well. And I pray that rivers of the oil of your Spirit might begin to flow, and streams of living water will begin to run out, rivers in Ezekiel 47, Revelation 22, the river of your Spirit that brings life wherever he goes. So, Father, we just thank you for your presence with us. We just take that ambassadorial role seriously, and we commit ourselves to you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Please do take a seat.